We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do and reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41, sharp contention. We have here this morning a most shocking section of Holy Scripture. It's actually painful to read it, and it's impossible to even begin to understand it. If it were up to me, I wouldn't preach on it. But I can't get by that easily. Here at Water of Life, we take sections of Scripture chapter by chapter, verse by verse, just as the Holy Spirit has written it for us. So we'll continue to do that this morning. The Holy Spirit places before us two Christian men. Both are prophets sent by God. Both have seen Jesus Christ after he has risen from the dead. We call them eyewitnesses. That's what the apostles were. One of the qualifications of an apostle was that you must have seen the risen Jesus Christ. And both of these men had. Both were preaching the word of God fearlessly. Both had denied themselves, taken up their cross daily, and followed Christ. For years they had labored together, working shoulder to shoulder as they spread the gospel to the Gentile people. Together they had finished their first missionary journey, overcoming one difficulty after another. And now they were about to begin their second missionary journey. And then it happened. Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. And it wasn't over what they would have for breakfast the next morning. It was much more important than that. It resulted in a sharp contention between the two. The result was that they parted company and each went his own way, both preaching the gospel, but in different directions. And here is how the episode unfolded. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." So far, so good. But then things took a turn for the worst. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who had departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So the reference to John Mark having left Paul and the others and going back home is found in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, which reads this way: "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John," that's John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So the Holy Spirit, through Luke, does not tell us just why John Mark left the group and went back home. We could all make some guesses, and some have done that. But that's all they would be. So why do it? Instead of guessing about what we do not know, let's look at what we do know. And here is what we do know about John Mark's leaving the first missionary journey and going back home to Jerusalem. Paul thought John Mark was turning his back on God and quitting when the going got rough. We know that. Barnabas thought that John Mark had a good reason for going back to Jerusalem and was in no way quitting on God. We know that too. So these two men had a violent disagreement. So who was right? Paul or Barnabas? Or were they perhaps both right? More on this a little later. And so the contention, finishing the text, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Both men still preaching the gospel, only in different places. A few thoughts. As far as John Mark goes, there are other references in Scripture that we could look at. And one is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, so there is a relationship there, touching whom ye received commandments. If he come unto you, revive him. So that's one reference to John Mark. He was a relative of Barnabas. And did that play into an attempt here? I don't know. I would like to think that Barnabas was not that shallow, that he would let something like that cause such a sharp division. Philemon chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, therefore salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So Marcus is mentioned there. And he's spreading the gospel. He's doing the work. 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. And Paul says this. He's in prison now. Only Luke is with me. Isn't that sad? Only the great physician, the beloved physician, Luke, is with him. But then this. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So some years have passed, but there's been a change taking place. And now Paul claims that Mark is worthy to be part of the ministry. He wants him with him. He is profitable to me for the ministry. So thank God there's been a change here. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And even though we're still not sure what the problem was, and neither man could solve it, the Holy Spirit can. But it took a while. But it's comforting. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Marcus, my son. So There's another reason, my favorite reason, in thinking about John Mark. Mark was the one that wrote the gospel, the second gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark, of course, is the shortest gospel. We know that. But it's also the gospel that has so many intriguing details that Matthew, Luke, and John do not have. So it's, well, all four gospels are extremely valuable. But Mark, I think, especially so. So, just to kind of sell this short, we asked the question, how could it happen that two men that were both apostles and had completed their first missionary journey, how could it happen that they had such a sharp disagreement, a sharp contention that was so sharp that they separated? And how could that happen? And for one thing, it was not a doctrinal difference. And it's true that Barnabas had slipped a little bit before that and was corrected. But that was quite a while ago. And this was not a doctrinal difference. If it would have been a doctrinal difference, we could understand the sharp contention. And it would have been good. Mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that ye have learned, and avoid them. But this was not a doctrinal difference. So both men, elect children of God, one of the very small remnant, chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past, both of them, children of God, elect children of God, both of them knowledgeable believers, and both men thought they were right. There wasn't any middle ground. One thought Mark was not fit to be in the ministry any longer because he had quit. And the other thought that Mark had not quit. He had a legitimate reason for going back to Jerusalem. And he was legitimate to be a preacher and an apostle. And both men thought they were right. And there was no way then that they could continue on together. They either took Mark with them or they didn't. And the one that didn't would go find somebody else, and the one that felt that Mark was right would take Mark and go a different direction, but doing the same thing. So one thought that we have when we read a text like this is that it verifies to me that the Holy Spirit inspired Scripture, because a human writer would not put something like this in a book that he was trying to make everybody look good at. He would not want to highlight the difference between the two. The Holy Spirit does. He tells it like it is. And we've seen that happen over and over and over again in Scripture. There are many things that the Holy Spirit tells us about Peter that a human writer would not have told us. Wouldn't have told us that Peter denied Christ three times. That's not very complimentary. And both in the gospel writers, the Holy Spirit tells us that there was a time when Jesus was telling his disciples in no uncertain terms, I'm going into Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over to the enemy. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Such things are not going to be. There's a better way of doing something. And Peter turned, or the Lord turned on Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He called Peter the devil. Now, a human writer wouldn't have done that. It doesn't make Peter look very good. And Peter was called the mouthpiece of the disciples, and we're using him as an example. He always had something to say. Whether sometimes it was very good, sometimes it was very bad. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, one of the three disciples that Jesus took on top of the mount, Peter, James, and John. And he was up there and appeared to them as they were sleeping, Moses and Elijah. And the body of Jesus underwent metamorphosis. It wasn't his whole piece of glory. The whole glory of Jesus Christ has never yet been seen by anybody. If we would see it, we would die. It'll be seen by all of us when he comes back on the judgment day, and the wedding day, by the way, and we have glorified bodies also. Then we'll see it. So this was a limited vision, a limited appearance in glory, but it was still there. And Moses was there, and Elijah was there. Moses evidently was raised from the dead because he had died and was buried by God, and nobody ever found the burial place. But Moses was risen from the dead. Elijah never did die. He was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire, so we can understand him being there. And Jesus is there, and so the disciples wake up, and Peter sees this, and he hears what they're saying. And what they were talking about, by the way, was the Exodus. That's the Greek word. Exodus means going out. They were talking about the Exodus of Jesus Christ. The going out. Well, what was that? That was being nailed to the cross, dead and buried. That's what that was. And they were talking about that. And Peter heard that. So then Moses and Elijah disappeared. Maybe they disappeared. Maybe they were still there when Peter had this bright idea. But he said, Lord, this is a good thing. It's good for us to be here. Well, yeah, it was. That's why Jesus took them up there. That was a good thing. I'm glad you did that. Now I got an idea. Let's build three tabernacles. One tabernacle for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. That's a good idea. And then we'll all sit up here on the mount and worship you in these three tabernacles. And then people will start coming. And saying, we have a kingdom on earth. That's a good idea. And, of course, Jesus turned that down. Listen to the Father. Listen to what the Father says. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do what he says. So and Peter was rebuked. This isn't the only time this thing has happened. He's the one that, after the rooster crowed the second time, and Jesus looked at Peter without saying a thing, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. That's Peter. He doesn't look very good sometimes. But the Holy Spirit records it. A human writer wouldn't have. They don't do that. They try to make the guy look as good as they can. At least most of them. So anyway, the Holy Spirit tells it like it is, and that's very comforting. And while it's difficult to understand how Barnabas and Paul could have such a sharp contention, it happened. It happened. And I don't know how to explain it, and I'm not going to try. But I would like to think that both men were right. That it wasn't a thing of one's right and the other's wrong. You know, there's a saying that's really true. Whenever two human beings are involved in an argument, there's never a 100% right and a 100% wrong. But there is still a right and a wrong. Well, this may be, I would like to think, would be a contention, and I can't understand how it could be. But God can do this. I believe that both of these men were right. They were both right in what they said and what they thought. And so then, yes, there can be a parting with maybe even no hard feelings. That's possible. We've got a situation here where we have a violent contention here over John Mark, and we can't go on the second journey together if he's with us. There's got to be a separation. But it doesn't have to be a denial of preaching the gospel. So Barnabas takes the one Mark that Paul would not take, and he goes with him. And they start preaching the gospel, mainly probably in Jewish territory. And Paul takes Silas and the second missionary journey deeper and deeper into Gentile territory. And it all worked out. And during the intervening years, there was a healing. And Paul, who didn't feel that Mark was useful in the ministry, now has changed his opinion. And he even wants him to come. So this is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And you wonder sometimes if this thing is repeated in church history. And I really don't know. I know a lot of times there's been violent contentions. Usually it's been on doctrine. And you can't fudge on that. Like it says, mark those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you've learned and avoid them. That's it. But is it also possible that there can be sharp contention between two elect children of God, members of the very small remnant, that there can be a contention with them where they're both right? And there has to be, physically speaking, a division. I wonder if that's possible. I don't know. And I can't think of anything, but I would sure like to think so. And I know the Holy Spirit is very powerful, and that finally he's going to search out every elect single child of God and bring them back to the Savior, every single one. He's not going to miss any. And every one of the elect is going to be a bride of Christ, living with him in eternal glory in paradise. That we can be sure of. Thank you.